everyone. This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and it has been an interesting day up until this point. Anthony told you about the fire alarm. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you have your phone with you, I would turn off your ringer right now, because if it can go off, it will go off based on last service. I'm just going to just cue you in on that. That's just kind of how the day has gone. But today is also an interesting day for us, because today is an in-between week. We put these into our plan every year, these weeks that are in between series, because we want to be able to have space to be able to talk to things that are happening inside of our culture or inside of our church family. And we just wrapped up our Enjoying God conversation. Next week, we're walking into a really short, like 2-week series called Finishing Strong. We're looking at how do we make sure that December doesn't ruin our year, that we actually thrive as we move through that. And then we walk into a series I'm really looking forward to called An Awkward Family Christmas, which all of us have experienced. Some of you are excited about December. Some of you are terrified about December because of family, but it's amazing how Jesus steps into our lives and he changes the way that we think about family. He changes it in terms of us being part of his family, but he also changes it in terms of how we think about the brokenness of our own family. And he brings incredible hope into that. And so I'm really looking forward to us being able to walk through that as we move through the Christmas season. But before we get there, we have this in-between week. And I was really excited that we do, because I want to talk to something that I see everywhere inside of our culture, and I also see it beginning to impact our church family and the way that we think about or the way that we engage this journey. And it really doesn't matter where you are, what you believe about God. You have been exposed to this, and I'm telling you, this is impacting all of us, whether we know it or not, however we're aware of it or not. And I hear it all the time. I hear it in almost, not every, but many of the conversations that I have with people. And it used to be that people would talk to me about what they're creating. People would talk to me about where they're going. And they talk to me about maybe something that they're hoping for at work or looking forward to at work, or something that they're working to be able to do in terms of education. But recently, that has changed. And I have conversations with people, and this word keeps coming up. This word, drift. And people keep telling me, I feel like I'm drifting. And I think it has everything to do with the past 2 years, but I hear it over and over and over again. I feel like I'm drifting. And it used to be that people would talk to me again about where they're going in terms of their career, in terms of their life. Now they just talk to me about where they're going on vacation. That's it. And I'll say, well, what about work? And they're like, I'm not sure I'm going there anymore. I don't know that I'm all that interested in going there. And I hear it all the time. And you've probably heard or seen the stories about this in terms of the Great Resignation and all of those who've quit their jobs, or maybe quiet quitting. Maybe you're quiet quitting right now. And you just kind of stopped going to work and you're waiting until they stop paying you. But it's everywhere. And I'll talk to people who are leaving their job and say, oh, you know, so what's the next job? You got another job? You leaving that job for another job? Like, no, not really. Think I'll take a gap year. You're 35. Gap year. I don't think that's for 35-year-olds. I don't know, but it's everywhere. Every time I turn around, I keep encountering this. And I think, as I'm watching this play out, I think that for many of us, we've experienced our Ecclesiastes moment. we've encountered our Ecclesiastes moment. What I mean by that is this. There's this book inside of the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. It's called Ecclesiastes. It's written by an individual that God says is the wisest man who ever lived, which is interesting because he doesn't actually make good decisions his whole life. As a matter of fact, he makes a lot of really bad decisions. It shows that you can be wise and still do foolish things. But he writes this book called Ecclesiastes. It's a fun read. It's really enjoyable, as you'll see in a little bit. And in this book, he's laying out a perspective on life. And he's calling our attention to a reality in life that I think many of us have experienced or have encountered, some of us maybe for the first time. Let me take you to the beginning of this book. This is how he launches the book. This is a phenomenal book of wisdom literature. This is the beginning. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son. This is Solomon, David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. In case you're wondering, not just partially meaningless, completely meaningless. It's not just a little meaningless, it's entirely meaningless. Fully meaningless. Completely meaningless. I love the restatement there. Just to clarify, everything is completely meaningless. He continues, what do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises, sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the seas, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. Wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Some people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. It's a feel-good read. And this is how he begins. You say, okay, well, that's just the beginning. It must turn. Nope, it doesn't. It keeps going and going and going. And he talks about these different aspects of life. Listen to what he says about wisdom itself. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge, it only increases sorrow. Okay, what about work? But I looked at everything I'd worked so hard to accomplish. It was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. I came to hate all of my hard work here on earth, for I must leave it to others, everything that I've earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish, yet they control everything I've gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. He says, what good is it for me to work hard? I work hard, I build this, I accomplish this, and then I'm going to hand it off to some moron. And who knows what they're going to do with it? They'll probably just destroy it. He just starts to break down all of it. And this is not a short book. This is 12 chapters. And he keeps going. Listen to what he says about youth. Young people, he's talking to you, most of you. It's wonderful to be young. Oh, a positive. We have a positive. It's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do whatever you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, where the whole life before you is meaningless. Thought we were headed in a good direction, and we're right back where we started. Even that is meaningless. And over again, he walks through all these different aspects of life, every aspect of life. It's meaningless. It's worthless. And again, we say, okay, yeah, but I mean, what is it like, chapter 7 where he switches? Nope. As you read through it, you do see him kind of shifting perspectives. In other words, he's calling our attention to this. At times, he talks to us about how to be able to engage within that. But he's just consistently communicating this reality. Like, no, it's meaningless. It's worthless. Some of you are like, wait, where are you going with this, Chris? This is, I don't know how you, but that's what he wants for us to see. I remember my Ecclesiastes moment. It was probably in maybe like the fifth or sixth year of Hoboken Grace. And I had gone through some really difficult things with my son, and it seemed like everything that I was working for, my family, it didn't matter how much I worked, it wasn't in my control. I wasn't going to be able to shift it. I wasn't going to be able to shape it. It seemed like it was all meaningless. At work, I'd lost two significant staff members, and it just seemed like it doesn't matter how hard I worked or what I poured into it, it was meaningless, and everyone's going to move to Florida. But I was encountering all that. And then, interestingly enough, I had probably one of the best experiences with God I've ever had in my life. I went away and was able to experience God really significantly. And when I experienced that, everything else became meaningless compared to that. I was like, what? And it threw me into this tailspin where previously in life, there were all these different things that motivated me. And some of them were good. Some of them, I wanted to love people. A lot of them were motivated by good things. I wanted to impact people. I wanted to see people come to know Christ. Some of them were also negative motivations. I wanted to be successful. I wanted for people to look at Hoboken Grace and look at how we were growing and look at what we were able to accomplish. And I wanted for people to think, when he really knows church planting, and I wanted, there was that as well that was driving me, that selfish ambition. It was interesting because I later on kind of put them in two different buckets. One was selfish ambition that was about me and what I, one was spiritual ambition, which is also about me, but it's about what I can do for God. And I'm going to do these amazing things for God, and I'm going to live this amazing life for God, and then I get to give it to God, like it compares to, in any way, to the righteousness of Jesus that's been given to me. But either way, there were these kind of two ambitions. And I came to this moment in my life, and neither of them mattered. And I looked at them and said, it's meaningless. It's literally worthless. Like, if I can't do anything great for God, that's going to have him love me more, accept me more, or I can't even control when I have an experience like that with him. That's meaningless. And everything that I'm working towards, that seems to be meaningless too. And I found myself, what I describe as an Ecclesiastes moment. And I think that many of you are in that moment right now. And I think that our culture is in that moment right now. And the last couple years have awoken us, which can be a good thing, have awoken us to the reality that what we previously lived for was meaningless. And what drove us, and we were going to get into that school and we're going to put that diploma on our wall. In the last 2 years, that diploma, we've looked at it and said, that was meaningless. That's meaningless. Or we're going to achieve this, or we're going to build this. But, well, that's meaningless. And it's interesting. It can come from both experiencing good things or bad things. Some of you, one of the good things that has come out of the last couple of years is that you spend more time with your family. And in spending more time with your family, you've looked at how you lived your life previously and said, wow, that was really meaningless. Now, let me warn you with this. If you turn your family into the meaning of your life, you will destroy your family. Which some of you are doing right now. You say, well, that's just the only thing to live for. No, that's still meaningless too. Because you can love and pour into your kids and they still can turn out broken and they hate you. And it's frustrating. You say, well, what good was that? Sometimes as parents, that's why we work to control our kids, because they're the meaning of our life. And if they don't turn out well, then all of it was, well, meaningless. But we're looking at all of this, and sometimes it comes from experiencing good things, sometimes it comes from bad things, and you poured and poured and poured into that business that you were launching, and then in 2 years, literally in 6 months, it was just gone. It's gone. You say, well, it's meaningless. What does it matter? And I think for a lot of us, we're encountering this. And I remember talking to one of my mentors, and I asked him, I said, I'm really struggling, which was weird coming out of this really powerful experience of God. I said, I'm really struggling because I know what used to get me out of bed, and I know what used to motivate me, and I know what used to drive me, and all of it's meaningless. And so I don't really know. It's kind of like what we talked about last week. When you lose guilt, you think, well, what will keep me in line? Because I've only ever used guilt to keep me in line. How? And in that situation, all of a sudden, I lost all of those old motivations, all of those things that used to drive me. And I looked at it, I said, I don't really know what I should live for. I don't really know what my motivation should be. And I felt like I was drifting. Which is where I think a lot of you are. You're drifting. I lost all of my old motivations and I don't really know what the right one should be. And it can be easy to step into that and say, no, you should have spiritual ambition. And oftentimes inside of churches, that's what we teach. We teach to replace worldly ambition with spiritual ambition, and you just need to go out and do as much as you can for God. I think Solomon would argue that that's also meaningless. That even this life of just trying to do good things is also meaningless. And so he walks through this whole book, and then he comes to this final verse. And I want to take you there, because I think this is the one place where he shifts. But he doesn't really shift. He just says, okay, in light of this reality, he doesn't say that that's not reality. He says, in light of this reality, here's what I want for you to do. So I want to take you to this moment. It's literally the last two verses in Ecclesiastes 12. He says, that's the whole story. Okay, I've summed it all up for you. All of it's meaningless. In case you're wondering, it's completely meaningless. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands. And then he says this, for this is everyone's duty. Now, we talked about this word last week. You need to understand this about Solomon. Solomon did not have a good relationship with God. God uses him in his wisdom to be able to communicate his word, but he did not have a good relationship with God. Solomon never understood the relationship that he could have with God, the way that he could enjoy God. Which is why he over and over again walks away from God. He does much in his life to destroy what his father, King David, had built and to lead the nation of Israel to worship other gods. And so for him, it always was just this duty. It wasn't relational. It wasn't him understanding how God loves him and him learning how to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And engaging it from that perspective. But even inside of that, he recognizes this. He says, all of it's meaningless, so here's what I want for you to do. Here's my final conclusion. You need to engage. The only thing that will bring meaning is if you fear God and obey his commands. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying in this moment, because it's really, really, really significant. Anything that is intentionally created, outside of its context loses meaning. So everything that's intentionally created is created inside of context. So you understand this with a car, right? So you create car pieces on purpose. They're created in a context. If I were to be up here holding the door handle of a car, outside of a context of the car, it's meaningless. When you take it out of its context, it becomes meaningless. So Solomon walks through this whole thing. He says, all of this is meaningless, 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 meaningless. So here's what I want for you to do. This is my final conclusion. The only way that anything actually finds meaning is inside the story and the plan of the one who created it. He says, so here's what I want for you to do. This is the only thing that makes sense. You have to follow God. You have to follow Him. Why? Because it's only inside the context of His plan that you discover the meaning for which it was created. And it's not that all things are bad. Listen to what he says earlier, because I said sometimes he kind of shifts perspectives in and out to share with us kind of how we should engage this. Listen to what he says just a little bit before that. He says, for everything there's a season, a time for every activity under the sun. He says, I'm describing to you all these things that are meaningless. He says, but the reality is that for all of these things, there's a season. Like there's a time and place for these different things. It's not that they're bad things. It's just that they're meaningless if they don't fall into the plan, if they're not actually being executed inside the plan, if you don't understand the season for which they exist or the context for which they exist or when and where it is that they should actually be executed. And he walks through this. He describes all these different things that there's a season for, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones. I don't know when that season is, but apparently it's a season, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to turn away. He's walking through all these different things, and he says, listen, I want you to understand all these things are meaningless. He says, but there is a time and place for them. He says, so here's my final conclusion. You have to, and this is what led me to what is my life mission. It really came out of my Ecclesiastes moment. And in my whole life, I've been looking for, what's my mission statement? People would always ask me, what's your personal mission statement? I'm like, I don't know. Like, should I just make something up? I don't know even how to respond to that. But as I worked through this Ecclesiastes moment in my own life, I finally found what I feel is my mission statement. It's just this, follow well. Follow well. Why? Why? Because it's only inside of the context of His plan that anything actually has meaning. Including me. Including me. And you can take the greatest of things that have been created, the most wonderful things, good things. He even talks about in terms of pleasure. He says you can take it outside of the context of His plan, they're all meaningless. Your job, your schooling, what you have, all, even the way you're created, outside of the context of God's plan is meaningless. But inside the context of His plan, it finds its perfect and created meaning and purpose. Everything, including you. You were created on purpose for a purpose. As part of a phenomenal story that God has been telling for generations. A story of love and grace and power and beauty. A story of rescue and adoption. And you were intentionally brought into it. God decided the story is better with you. The story is better with you. But here's my fear. My fear is that we begin to drift. We stop listening and engaging of, okay, well, God, how do you want to use me and where do you want to use me? Because here's the thing, you can't figure out the seasons on your own. How do you know which season it's supposed to be? You have no idea. You have to follow Him into it. You can't become spiritually ambitious and move ahead of Him. As soon as you move ahead of Him, it becomes meaningless again. Why? Because you're outside of the context of His plan. This is why the enjoying God conversation is so significant. We have to have that relationship, not just for us to love Him and be loved by Him, but also for Him to direct us. Why? Because it's only in His direction that we find the context of our very purpose. And my fear is that we begin to drift, and those who are created to change the world will miss their purpose and meaning. That you'll begin to believe it doesn't actually matter. No, it actually does matter. You matter. And what God wants to do in the world, He wants to do through you. And so for many of us, you need to engage. It's time to stop drifting. I know, you lost your old motivations. Good, let them go. Let them go. They were meaningless, but life is not meaningless. You are not meaningless. He created you on purpose for a purpose. You have a specific role in this story that you are perfectly created for. Outside of your context, you're going to struggle with your value. Inside of your context, you find your value in the way that He loves you, the way that He created you specifically for the story that He created for you to be part of. But you have to decide to engage. It's time to stop drifting. You're too significant to the story. It's time to stop drifting. What's the motivation? I remember asking my mentor, what should my motivation be? The motivation is to live out the purpose of God in your life at this time. To come to the end of it. You can live for all sorts of things. You'll come to the end of it. You'll look back and you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, that was meaningless. If you live out your purpose in the story, if when the story of God is told, it comes to your part and you lived it well, it doesn't matter how significant or how small it is, you'll look at it and say, wow, that was meaningful. That was meaningful. Great things done outside the context of His will are not meaningful. Motivation is one day I want to be able to stand before Him and say, I did my best. I did my best to live out the role you created me to play. I followed well. I followed well. It's time to engage. It's time to engage. You're far more significant to the story than you thought. May we live that well. As we move through this next song, the band's going to come on stage. They're going to talk about our need for God. But our team is going to come down here in front. And I want to do this because some of you, you know you've been drifting. Maybe you've bought into the lie that you don't matter. Or maybe even as you hear these words of Solomon, you've bought into the lie that it really is all meaningless, including God's plan. We want to be able to pray with you. We want to give you the opportunity to be prayed for. That you would engage. That you would discover the power of the purpose that you were created with and for. May we follow well. Maybe one day look back and say, wow, wow, that was meaningful. That was meaningful. Father, we thank you that we weren't created outside of your plan, that we were created within it. We weren't created outside the context, we were created for it. I thank you
that those who are in this room and those who are watching online, that they, you not only created them, but you've rescued them, or you're pursuing them right now because you want to impact and change the world with them. We do not want to drift past our purpose. In Jesus' name.